So it was cool. I saw, I don't know, last month I was on Twitter and I saw that there was this really cool picture of you with all these people standing around you. You got like a standing ovation.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. There were probably 600 people in the audience. And I didn't realize, I heard them applauding, but I didn't realize they were actually giving me a standing ovation. And so the person from the International Association of Great Lakes Research who had given me the award said, turn around. And it was overwhelming. I mean, it was just an amazing moment, you know, to see all these respected people thanking me for my work.
Yeah, it was just awesome. I wasn't there, but when I saw the picture, it totally gave me goosebumps. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so great.
It was a really wonderful pinnacle for my career. I've been doing this for so long, so it was really nice to be recognized by my peers.
So you've been doing this for
40 years.
40 years. Do you think that when you're having these interactions with teachers and with students, that the information is actually sinking in?
I believe so. And the reason I believe so is teachers today really want to make learning something that students can relate to. And so the jargon is called place-based education. Well, we certainly have the Great Lakes right in our backyard. So the teachers that I work with are very enthusiastic. They want to teach their students about the Great Lakes. And of course, you know, think in your own life. Just this morning, you know, you brushed your teeth with water from the Great Lakes. You probably had tea or coffee that came from water in from the Great Lakes. And so, you know, I always go out to students and ask them, you know, raise your hand if you have the Great Lakes inside you. And most of them understand that, sure, you know, the Great Lakes are part of us. And so I believe so.
With this being such a turbulent time when it comes to funding for programs and things like that, how important is it to maintain a consistency when it comes to educating people about the Great Lakes?
Well, it's absolutely important. I teach at the University of Buffalo, and I teach Great Lakes Ecology, and my undergraduate students are the next wave of voters. And if they don't care about the Great Lakes, they certainly aren't going to elect officials that care about the Great Lakes. And so it really has a major impact on what's going on politically, because if we don't let our representatives know that we care about water quality, you know, the water we drink, you know, the water we use for recreation, invasive species, you know, like your piece about the Chinese mitten crabs.
Yeah.
People don't understand the impact. They won't care. You know, so it is really important to educate them.
So where do we go from here? Are you going to do another 40 years?
Well, I'm not ready to go yet. So, you know, I'm still having fun. My students are very enthusiastic. One of the things I love to teach them about is the impact of plastic in the environment. You know, how much plastic we're just using and throwing out, you know, these single-use plastics. And in fact, I have my students do a two-week assignment and monitor how much single-use plastic they are using throughout that 2 weeks.
Wow, like in their household?
Yeah, like wow. They go for coffee, or are they getting straws when, you know, plastic straws when they don't need them? If they go to the store, do they take a plastic bag instead of, you know, bringing their own? And it's just amazing. After the 2 weeks, then I ask them to go 2 weeks and try to eliminate some of those things. And they really come back and say, you know, I realized I could get a little metal filter for my coffee maker, and I don't have to throw out these plastic things. Or I got a water bottle, and instead of buying plastic bottles with water, I refill it for free, and I've been saving money. You know, so I think if people realize it's not only a good thing for the environment, but it's really a practical thing, then they make that connection.
Do you think when it comes to plastics that at one point, not even just in the Great Lakes, but globally, do you think that maybe we'll get to a point where we're going to have an overabundance of plastics? I mean, I see the pictures on the internet where there's these floating plastic islands and,
yeah,
you know, there's bags and wrappers everywhere.
Right.
Do you think we're going to get to a point where there's just so much it becomes a situation where there's no remedy or the remedy is very difficult?
Well, I think we'll have to come up with a remedy. But, you know, I was at a conference a couple of years ago, and one of the speakers said that within the next 20 to 30 years, by volume, there may be more plastic in the oceans than living things. That's frightening. That is just totally frightening. And, you know, sometimes people say to me, well, we're in the Great Lakes, so what does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
But our plastic goes out to the Great Lakes. You know, we have the St. Lawrence that connects us to the oceans. And so our plastic goes right out to the oceans, you know, and so we are contributing to that problem. And, yes, we need to stop the constant use of plastics, you know, and it's, even if everybody in, you know, if more people were aware and just did little things to reduce the use of plastic, it would help. But I do think that down the line, there's going to have to be an international kind of
intervention.
Yeah,
a global intervention on plastics.
Really, because it is a frightening situation.
It is, yeah. All right, well, thank you for your time. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today.
And please keep the Great Lakes in people's minds, because it's a wonderful resource.
Absolutely, thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too.